Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will continue our worship service with the singer of Psalter 364, all four stanzas. From out the depths I cry to thee, O let thy ear attentive be. Hear thou my supplicating cry, have mercy, Lord. Psalter 364, all four stanzas. scripture reading for this morning you can find in 1 John chapter 4. He mentioned to you 1 John chapter 4. But before we will read the holy law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We mention to you 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him, because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Thus far.
Congregation, let us ask the Lord for a blessing on word and sacrament. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, merciful and gracious Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, it's thy long-suffering patience, mercy and goodness over us unworthy sinners, that we may yet be in the time of grace in the land of the living, that again on thy day, the first day of this week, that thou hast given unto us and to our children to gather in thy house to hear what thou hast to say unto us. And Lord, in this morning then we have heard law and gospel, and through also the preaching and through the administration of the Holy Supper we will hear the gospel, and we will also see the gospel through those signs that thou hast given, through that bread and wine. And Lord, may we beg and ask thee that as we have gathered together, that thou would gather with us. And Lord, thou hast promised in thy word, where two or three are gathered together in thy name, that thou wilt be in the midst. And Lord, we are sinful, we are polluted. Thou hast created us perfect in thy image, in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. But we have left thee. We have plunged ourselves into misery. We have turned away from thee, never to return. But thou art that God who has called after Adam, where art thou? And thou art still calling through thy precious word. And Lord, we beg and ask thee then that thou would gather with us in this morning, in this day, and that thou would give those blessings from above that no man can give us, but that only are from thee, a triune God, from God the Father, through God the Son, by the application of the Holy Spirit. O, wilt thou bless then the preaching of thy law, and that it may be through the convicting and convincing of sin, that sinners become sinners, lost sinners, guilty sinners, before thee, a holy and just God, who can by no means clear the guilty. But Lord, remember also those who by the work of the Holy Spirit have been born again, have been convicted and convinced that they are sin in their thoughts, words, and deeds, that they have left thee, that they do sin, have sin, and remain sin, and yet long for that way back to thee. Thou who art that overflowing fountain of all good, of all mercy and grace, thou who hast sought them, found them, polluted in their blood, lying in death, and given them life, and drawn them unto thyself, giving them hunger and thirst after righteousness, and for thee, the living God. O Lord, we beg thee that in this morning, that thy dear people, all thy people, the little lambs and the sheep, may be drawn to that table to be fed by thee, to be nourished by thee, to be comforted by thee. As we have considered in the past weeks that thou hast instituted the Lord's Supper as that good shepherd to care for thy sheep, to strengthen their faith in thee and in who thou art as that crucified Savior, that thy broken body and shed blood is that food for them, for their perishing souls. O Lord, wilt thou then comfort them, and wilt thou assure them, O may they have a little crumb from the Master's table, and in themselves they may feel unworthy as a little dog. But what a wonder that thou art that faithful one, that overflowing fountain of all good and mercy and grace and love for wretched ones, for undeserving ones, who only sin against thee and who remain sin and who have nothing perfect in self. It's all unrighteousness. But what a wonder that thou art willing and desiring to eat with them, to commune with them, to meet with them. Oh, may it be so in this morning by the power of the Holy Spirit, that there may be poor beggars lying in the midst in death and self and looking unto thee, longing for communion, for favor, for a little visit, for a little token of thy mercy and grace for their hungry and thirsty souls. O Lord, draw them to the table, and that thou would then give those blessings that no man can give but thou alone, through that precious blood, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, wilt thou take away all the obstacles and the hindrances? Oh, wilt thou bind up Satan and cast him out? And that there may be an hour of rest, may there be peace for poor, needy sinners sitting under thy wings. But also in the preaching of the gospel, Lord, give opening, bless it powerfully, irresistibly. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, look upon us and our children in thy mercy. Oh, Lord, thou could pass us by because we are a polluted congregation. We are sinful, and there's no good thing in us. And after thy grace, we are so foolish, so worldly, such foolish sheep, so often going astray. We do not serve thee as we should. Lord, we all must say, guilty. But Lord, in thy wrath, remember mercy among us and give those blessings that thou alone can give. Lord, unto whom else can we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. Lord, we lay before thee the whole congregation. Remember all the sick and afflicted, those in the hospital, those with needs for their mind and for their bodies. Remember those who are expecting a child. Care for that life in the womb. Remember the mothers, Lord. Remember all the mourning ones. Care for them. Comfort them. The widows, the widowers, those who have lost a child or children, a sibling, a friend, a classmate. Lord, we beg and pray thee, remember also Mrs. Stubby in the Bethany Care Home. Remember her on that bed. Care for her, Lord, not only for her body, but may we lay before thee especially the needs for her soul. Remember her family, her husband, her children, and the whole family. Remember also Mr. Jeff Valdesgraf. Oh, we beg and pray thee, Lord, that thou would bless the means that may be used for his body, but especially may we beg thee, remember him for his soul. Lord, sanctify all these callings to our hearts. Thou art speaking through thy word, through law, through gospel, but also through all thy acts of providence, that we have no continuing city here below, but that we are on that way that to eternity, and by nature we are on that broad way that leadeth to destruction. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thou would work mightily and translate sinners, lost sinners, from that kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of thy dear Son. And those whom thou hast translated, oh, wilt thou teach them and lead them and guide them and give that may they may be conformed to the image of thy Son, that they may produce more fruits, that they may live as a light in this dark world for the glory of thy name. Lord, we beg thee then help in listening. Give ears to hear thy voice through thy word. Give minds to understand, and give hearts, new hearts, hearts of flesh. Take away the hearts of stone, hearts to receive thy word, and that thy word may be blessed, and that it may bring forth fruit of true repentance and true faith in thee and in thy Son. Lord, have mercy. We beg and pray thee that thou would give much prayer, give opening, Lord, and that all may be done to the honor and to the glory of thy most holy and most worthy name. Give the unction of the Holy Spirit to preach, but also help thy servant to administer the Lord's Supper. Lord, we beg and pray thee, come among us. Thou knowest those poor sinners who are longing for a little token of thy mercy, for a visit, for favor, for a little favor from above, from a smile. O Lord, come them. There's no reason in them. But oh, may we plead upon the merits of thy dear Son, because of his righteousness, because of his blood. Lord, we ask then that thou would bless thy word that may be proclaimed throughout the entire world today on thy day. Help all thy servants, sons of men, incapable, and yet what a responsibility. Oh, give that we may preach death in Adam and life in Christ, and how a sinner is brought unto him by that work of the Holy Spirit. Lord, remember then all thy servants, those who are getting older, those who have health concerns, help them. Remember the students in the theological school. Lord, give also what they need. Care for the instructors. And Lord, we beg thee that thou would richly bless thy word in the established congregations, but also throughout the entire world, that thy kingdom may come. Oh, that sinners may be born again, and that thy precious Son, that only name given among men whereby we must be saved, oh, may he become so necessary, so suitable and precious, that he may be worshipped and adored. Lord, do it for thy name's sake. Help them. All missionaries, church workers, remember the church in Bolivia. Bless thy word richly. Help the elders, the deacons, the church workers and their families. Oh, give that they may be teaching and instructing, constrained by the love of Christ on the truth of thy precious word, and that thou would richly bless it to the conversion and the edification of many Bolivians. Lord, bless thy word also among thy covenant people, the Jews. Lord, thou hast promised that thou would take the veil away from their eyes, and that many may come to know thee. Lord, have mercy on them. Remember this world and all the turmoil, wars and rumors of wars. Oh, give that through all these things, that there may be that seeking, not only for world peace, but that true peace, that lasting peace that passeth all understanding. And so, Lord, we lay these needs before thee. Have mercy upon us, Lord. Come with thy Holy Spirit, and give ears to hear, hearts to receive, and give those blessings. Oh, may there be a little bread for the hungry, and may there be water, refreshing water for the thirsty, and those that are not hungry, not thirsty, make them hungry, make them thirsty, and that they may seek him, that who said, I am the bread of life. Lord, have mercy upon us. Wash and cleanse us from all our many sins. We beg and pray for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Congregation, let's continue with singing now from Psalter 416, the first three stanzas and number 5. So 1, 2, 3 and number 5. As the heart about to falter in its trembling agony, panteth for the brooks of water, so my soul doth pant for thee. Yea, thirst for thee I cry, God of life, O when shall I come again to stand before thee in thy temple and adore thee. 416, the first three stanzas, and also number 5. And the collections for this morning is the first for the church and the second for the benevolent fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. congregation in preparation for the Lord's Supper, we would like to meditate on God's precious word. What you can find in the first epistle to John, chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. 1 John 4, verse 9 and 10. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So far, God's precious word. The theme this morning is, herein is love. Herein is love. From whom is this love? For who is this love? What is this love? And how is this love expressed? And so two thoughts. First, the source of this love. We read in verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us. And we read in verse 10, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. So the source of this love. Second, the expression of this love. Verse 9, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And verse 10, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Herein is love. The source of this love and the expression of this love. With the Lord's help, our first thought, the source of this love. Congregation, verse 9 and 10 begin in a very similar way. We read in verse 9, in this, and verse 10, herein. In Greek, they both express the same thing. They both begin with something. What? Unprecedented love. Unequal love. Unparalleled love. The highest, the deepest, the widest, the greatest love that was ever expressed upon this earth. Children, when you want to write something and you want to express it, maybe you highlight it, but there's another way that you can express and put emphasis on it, right? You write something and then you put an exclamation mark. Well, in Greek grammar, we don't have exclamation marks in our Bible. But you could put an exclamation mark. For example, in these two verses, in this exclamation mark, verse 9, herein is love, exclamation mark. And in Greek grammar, if they wanted to emphasize something, they put it right at the very beginning. So herein is love. It's with bold letters. Bold letters. So from whom does this love flow? From whom is this love? Who is that overflowing fountain of love from eternity, in time, and to eternity? Man? No. Man isn't the fountain of love. Man isn't the source of love. Not at all. John makes that very clear in these verses. Not that we loved God. No, that love doesn't flow from man, that herein is love, that unprecedented, unparalleled love. It's not from man at all. Who are we by nature? Have you found who you are by nature? Have you learned more of this? No man, no woman, no boy, no girl loves God by nature. We're born as enemies. We're born as enemies by nature. We hate God, and we hate the King of Kings, and we will not have him to rule over us. Paul knew this. Paul wrote in Romans 1, verse 30, haters of God. So man is not the source of this love. Absolutely not at all. In this text and in this context, John is writing. He's speaking to whom? He's speaking to God's children. And he calls them little children. Let's read verse 4. And ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So who are these little children? They have the Spirit of God dwelling in them. The Spirit dwells in them. They have the expedient work of the Holy Spirit, which is so necessary. What? Remember preparatory sermon? That Holy Spirit works in the hearts of dead sinners, giving them life and convicting and convincing them of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. But that same Spirit, as we considered in the context of the chapter last week, that same Spirit that convicts them of sin teaches them, leads them to that only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. They get a little sight of their sin, of who they are before a holy and just God who can by no means clear the guilty. But they also are led and taught, being emptied of self and led, and they have a little sight, or more and more, of another one, a precious one, one who's not sinful, one who's pure, one who's holy, one whom their heart goes out to, that precious Savior. So who are these little children? They taste something of the bitterness of sin, but they also, by that same Spirit, taste something of the sweetness that there is in that precious Savior. They're taught by God, and they learn something experientially of misery, deliverance, and of gratitude. And John describes them through his epistle. He gives many clear marks of grace of who they are, of that love of God for whom? For those little children. They begin to walk in light because he delivers them out of darkness, and they begin to walk in light. They confess their sin. No doubt just with lips, it comes from their heart. They begin to love the commandments of God because they love the God of the commandments. They love the commandments because they love the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. They begin to love the family of God. Those that love God, they have the love of God, and they begin to love the brethren. They flee from worldliness. They want to live unto him because they love him. They begin to hunger and thirst after righteousness. They do not only believe the record of God's word, which is so clear of who they are, that there's none good, none righteous, no, not one, that they're all lost, all sinful before that holy God, and they say, amen, that's me, and I'm worthy of wrath, of eternal wrath. But they also, by that same Spirit, begin to believe the precious record of that only Savior, Jesus Christ. They repent of their sins because of grace given. And they continue to repent and confess. But they also have faith in that precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So John writes, little children. And John includes himself. Not that we love God. John is speaking to his dear congregation, and he loves them. And I love you too. And he loves them, but he especially loves the dear children of God. And he says with them, not that we love God. This is a confession of all those who are taught by God. What confession? They learn by nature. They were dead in sins and trespasses. No love for God. Not at all. No seeking him. No needing him. No hungering for him. No thirst for the living God. And he created it exactly for this purpose. But it's all sin. Never lived loving him. Never. Maybe very religious. Maybe coming to church. But not a heart for love for God. They loved everything except him by nature, without his grace. And the big idol in their life was just I, self. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. God is the source of love. Not man, not one woman, not no boy, not no girl. But God is the source of love. God sought them. God renewed them. And by his grace, they begin to repent. They begin to have sorrow, pain in their hearts that they sin against such a good-doing God that should cast them away eternally. And he hasn't. What a wonder. but that he sought them, gave them life, and teaches them, and leads them to that only Savior. Why? Because he wants to meet with them. He wants to commune with them, but he can't because of who they are. And they need to be brought to that only Savior, that he can look upon them in favor. And they learn not that we loved God. We lived our whole life loveless, loving self, nothing for God, and nothing for the Lord Jesus Christ. They learn of the wrath of God, the just wrath, because of who they are, because of sin. But they also learn of his mercy, of his grace, of his love, of love for such absolute unworthy sinners. How? Through his son. That's the only way. What do they confess, those little children? They confess all this. What do they learn? What do they experience? Not that we loved God, but by his grace they begin to learn, but that God loved us. He loved us when there was not one spark of love in our hearts for him. That there was only enmity. Enmity by living in the world, or enmity living as a Pharisee, very self-righteous. And yet he loved us when we were polluted, filthy, lying dead in the blood, cast out in the field, no hope, helpless, on that way to eternal hell. But he loved us, he sought us, he found us, his love. God is the source of all love. It all begins of him and him alone. And they confess not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Is that what you learned in this week? Looking for this, looking for that, and what is it? Looking in your past life, and you just see it's all sin. But have you learned something? Something that you were walking dead in sins and trespasses, but God, as Paul writes in Ephesians, open your Bible, please. Ephesians 2, verse 4 and 5. There we read of Paul and the expression of that love and of that mercy of God for such a wretched sinner. Ephesians 2, verse 4 and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Who's the source of love? Not man. Not even those with grace. They're not the source of love. They only live out of love because he poured love in their hearts. God, that triune God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, he is the source of all love. And that's what they confess, and that's what they learn. They learn. They're absolutely undeserving of any love, but of only wrath because of pollution of who they are, and yet of who they remain to be. Of who they remain to be. And that comes so painful, because he's so worthy to be served. He's so worthy to be loved with our whole heart. But we're so wretched, so polluted. Where's the love that he deserves? And not that we loved God. Congregation, we love things that benefit us. We love things that appeal to us. What do the little children of the sheep learn? What did they learn? That there's nothing in them that's appealing that God would love them. Not at all. Nothing that he would love them that would benefit God. That it's just all polluted. How could God ever love such a wretched sinner as me? Is that your heart? And yet longing, hungering, desiring a little token of his love. But how? How could he ever love such a sinner? What breaks the heart? What breaks the heart of a sinner? What breaks the heart? What amazes those little children? What amazes those who are taught by God, God's children? Their love for God? No, not at all. It's not their love, but his love. His love for them. That breaks the heart. His constant love. His faithful love. His covenant love. That love will that never, ever be broken. Never. A love that he will never, ever break. He seeks them. He finds them in his love. And he will keep them in his love. He hates divorcement. and he will never ever send his bride away. And what do they learn in a week of examination? I'm only worthy to be sent away because of who I am and because of who I yet remain to be. But he hates divorcement. May I ask, are there spiritual adulterers here this morning? Is that you? What do I mean? That you still sin so much? That God has renewed you, poured love in your heart, and yet you love so many other things yet instead of him. And that you should love him. That he's that faithful, overflowing fountain of all good, and that he's such a good shepherd. But your heart is still so wretched. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Oh, so many reasons for us to be sent away eternally, but he will not, he cannot. Are there spiritual adulterers here this morning? Listen to what God says. What God says in Jeremiah 3 verse 1. But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers. Is that you, a spiritual adulterer? So many sins. Instead of a heart dedicated 100% to God and to that Savior. Still sinning so much. Yet, return again to me, saith the Lord. What a love. What an unspeakable source of love. The Almighty God. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. God is the source of love. God is infinite love. Love that passes all understanding for absolute wretches who only deserve wrath. And he infinitely loves himself. That's understandable. God the Father loves his Son. God the Son loves the Father. God the Father and the Son love the Holy Spirit. And God the Holy Spirit loves the Son and loves God. Understandable. And there's a fullness in that love. God is love. And they glory in loving one another. And that God loves his Son, congregation. It becomes, I say it, understandable. Because he could look upon his Son, no sin, perfect, an express image of himself. That God loved the holy angels that served him every day, every moment, perfectly serving him, understandable. God is the source of love. And who are the objects of his love? Who are the objects of his love? What do we read in this verse? Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Us, his little children, wretched sinners in themselves, that he loves us. He created us in his image, perfect. And he could look upon it and say it's very good. But that was in paradise before the fall. But we rebelled, we returned, we went away from him, never ever to return. And we became completely, absolutely corrupt to the very core, thoughts, words, and deeds. And yet he recreates. He recreates. And he seeks them and he finds them in his love. Oh, what wonders of love, what grace, what mercy, what amazing grace. God, the triune God, is the source of love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. We could translate that phrase this way. Not that we first loved God as to stir up his love, that he would love us. No, not at all. Not at all. By nature, no love. And after grace. How is it? Can we lift up to the Lord and say, look at my love? Can we? Oh, in that heart there is love. But it's nothing to be proud of. It's so poor, so often so cold. And we do not love him as we should. And not that we love God, that he loved us. He loved us. God loved first. God loved first, and therefore, and through that, we love him. We read this in verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. God is the source of love. Amazing love. Unspeakable love. Love of a triune God. And his people, he loves them as himself. Did you hear that? God loves his people. Those wretched ones. He loves them as himself. He loves them as his dear son. We read this in the high priestly prayer in John 17 verse 23. And has loved them as thou hast loved me. My friend, do you know something about sorrow? Sorrow of sin. No, not the consequence of sin, but that you sin against God, a good doing God. That your sin, that you've done sin, have sinned, and remain sin. And are you longing, desiring, oh, for a visit, for a visit, for a visit of that precious, almighty, overflowing fountain of love, of a visit through that precious Savior? Do you know it's only through him? Otherwise, it's absolutely impossible. Nothing from yourself. Herein is love. God is the source of love. What is love? Love is a verb. What's a verb? A verb is action. How do we express love? By actions. How does God, that infinite source of all love, that God that is love, how does he express love for wretched sinners, for his little children? We said something, but we want to focus more in depth now. Our second thought, the expression of his love. The expression of his love. How does God express his love for sinners, for his little children? How does he? What does he do to express it? You say he feeds them, he cares for them, he upholds them. That's a wonder. That's mercy, because we deserve nothing. But is that it? No. It's a much greater expression. Not only for their body, he cares for their soul. He cares for their greatest need. They have a need for their body, but they have a greater need for their soul. And that's what those children learn. My soul, soul lost, all lost. What do they begin to long for? Those little children. What do they begin to long for? They begin to long for his favor. They begin to long for communion with God. They long that he could meet them, that they could have fellowship. They long for reconciliation with that holy God. They long for his favor. They long for his favor more than life. Favor. They desire to draw nigh to God at times as Daniel, and they long for him to draw nigh unto them. But what do they learn in this life? What do they learn? It becomes impossible. It becomes absolutely impossible that that holy, almighty God could meet with them, could commune with them. There's a separation because of their sin. They are guilty and he is holy. They come to need a way. They come to need a way back to God. They need a way that he could commune with them and meet with them. And God has provided a way that he could meet with them and commune with them. Because otherwise they are forever lost. But God provides. God in his wisdom, God in his love has provided a way. The only way. How? Through whom? Through his dear son, Jesus Christ. God provided a way for himself to be able to commune and to meet with sinners who deserve nothing but his wrath. God has provided a way for those wretched sinners to meet with him, to have communion with him. Remember? Exodus 25 verse 22, and there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat. So how? What's the way? Through the gift of his beloved son, his only beloved son. Verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten son into the world that we might have life through him. So here we see the expression of his love. God sent his only son to be the way back to him. And Paul writes an echo of this. In Romans 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we read in 1 John 4, verse 9 and 10, two times the word sent. God sent. God sent. What does it mean? Well, we say, we sent something. We send something that we send it away. And that whatever we send away departs. But it's more, congregation. It's not only in that word in Greek in the original. It's not only sending away. It's sending away with a mission. It's sending away with a purpose, with a very specific person. And in this we hear the expression of God's love for absolutely wretched sinners. What was the purpose of sending his son? Was it to heal people? Was it to feed the hungry? Was it to preach? What is it? What is our theme? Herein is love. What's the source of love? God the Father, he's the source of love. And what's the expression of his love? He sent his son. He sent his only beloved son. It's an expression of his love. And Paul calls Jesus Christ the unspeakable gift of God. Why? Why, Paul? What's the expression? What's the depth of his love? What did Paul learn? We'll come back to that in a moment. But what's the expression? The deep expression of that overflowing fountain of all love. What is the way back to God? What is the only way back to God? What is the only way that Almighty God can meet and have communion with sinners and that sinners can commune and meet with him? What's the only way? How can sinners even come into his presence? And how can that infinite holy God ever have communion? How? There's only one way. Let's read verse 10 again. Verse 10. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. And now listen. And sent his son. What? To be the propitiation for our sins. To be the propitiation for our sins. Here we see, we read the expression of the deep, infinite, profound love of God for wretched ones. God the Father sent his son. He sent him on a commission to keep the law, but more. To be what? To be the propitiation for our sins. What does that mean? Children, that's a big word. Propitiation. What does it mean? Propitiation means that through a sacrifice, that the wrath of an offended deity or a god is satisfied through a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice to appease the wrath and to gain his favor. That's the meaning of propitiation. So how was this done? How was this done? It was done by a sacrifice. A sacrifice to appease a king or a deity that his wrath would be taken away. And again, receive his favor. Example, remember Esther? In that history? Then Naaman, that wicked man? He wanted to hang all the Jews? And then we read that the king, when Esther told him the whole story, then the king was filled with wrath. And then we read in Esther 7 verse 10, so they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified, appeased by that propitiatory sacrifice, by that sacrifice of Haman. But now in the Bible, propitiation is used regarding appeasing, satisfying the justice of a holy, infinite God. God's love is infinite, congregation, but his wrath is infinite. What sacrifice can appease the wrath of an infinite holy God? What sacrifice? An infinite holy God needs an infinite sacrifice to take away that infinite debt of sin and to satisfy his infinite justice. There needs to be a payment that equals what God requires, or no communion. No meeting, no reconciliation, no peace, no favor, impossible. There's only one sacrifice can appease God's wrath. What is it? Those thousands of lambs that were slain in the Old Testament? No, it all pointed to one sacrifice, to a cursed death of one who hung on the cross, cast out from the earth, hanging between heaven and the earth. That one sacrifice, Jesus Christ, there on that cross, he came to be the propitiatory sacrifice to appease the wrath of God, the justice. So the word propitiation points. It points poor, wretched sinners to what? To what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross. What did he do on the cross? You say, that's the way of forgiveness. But why is there forgiveness? Because God's wrath was appeased. It fell upon him in unmitigated. It was all poured out on him. And he was the propitiation. He was that sacrifice to satisfy the wrath of God. Isaiah 53 verse 11. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. God the Father could look upon his Son. And also including his infinite justice. And he was satisfied. His wrath was appeased. And therefore John could write in chapter 2, verse 2, and he is the propitiation for our sins. And what we read in our verse in verse 10, sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Dear lambs, dear sheep, dear little children, God's children, recipients of grace, the words of this text, the expression of God's unspeakable love points you to your faith to not only look in self, but points you to look to one place, to the cross and him crucified. For him, wrath was appeased. He accomplished. He took it away. He took away the wrath of God. And through that, God can pour out love to ones who only deserve wrath. Jesus Christ drank the cup. He drank that cup of wrath. And he drank it to the last drop. No more wrath for his children. And that is why this morning, as a sign, there's another cup. A cup of wine that points to his blood. The cup of communion. He can meet sinners through the gospel. And he can meet poor needy sinners also at that table. His children who know of sorrow of sin and who have tasted a little something and who long for another taste. He can have communion with them. 1 John 4 verse 10. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. What unspeakable love. Love. My friend, you need atonement. You need atonement. You need full atonement. No, not just atonement. You need full, complete atonement. You need atonement. And this includes, full atonement includes two things. Propitiation and expiation. What's that, children? That means that there's a sacrifice to appease, to satisfy the wrath of God. And through that, there's expiation, the removal of all sin. And that's in the word atonement. Atonement. And atonement is propitiation and expiation. And for God to meet and commune with sinners, both must be accomplished. And for you, sinner, for you, little children, for you to experience sweetness of communion, both must be accomplished. And both no sinner has. No sinner has. Is that what you experience? You need it? It's what you learned in your life, but you don't have it? But God, that overflowing fountain of good, has provided both. Both through his Son. Both have been fulfilled completely by his dear Son. When? On the great day of atonement, on the cross, on Good Friday. How? By his sacrifice, by his broken body, and by his shed blood. Why? So that God and sinners can be reconciled, that God can meet them, that God can have communion with them, that there's reconciliation, that there is salvation. And these two words, remember? A few weeks ago, We considered the Day of Atonement in Luke 6, Leviticus 16. It's beautiful, illustrated by those two goats. Those two goats on the Day of Atonement. There was two goats, remember, before the tabernacle? And then there had to be a lot to choose between these two goats. One would be a sin offering, and the other would be a scapegoat. A scapegoat. And as these two goats threw on the Day of Atonement, carried away, made a picture, an illustration of full atonement, Jesus Christ on the cross. He has fulfilled it. He has accomplished it. How? How? Well, the one goat was offered for a sin offering. A sin offering consumed upon the altar of wrath. Well, Jesus Christ, he's that goat. He's the lamb. He's the sin offering. And he, on the cross, was sacrificed. He gave himself. He gave everything. He didn't hold anything back. He gave his body. He gave his blood. He gave his life. He gave everything. And God poured his wrath out upon him. He's that propitiatory sacrifice. And God the Father is satisfied in him. He can never be satisfied with you. Never. Never. Because we're sin. But Christ made that payment. We can never make a payment. What can we pay with? We only have sin. We become bankrupt and lost. But there's a payment, a full payment by him. But the other goat, that scapegoat, then they had to confess over that goat all the sins of all the people. Laid his hands on. It was a picture that all the sins was laid on that scapegoat. All the sins, transgressions, and iniquities of the people of Israel. And then this goat would be led far into the wilderness by a fit man. Far away, a picture of removal. Of removal of all those sins. And who, and I say with much reverence, is the fit man. That's Jesus Christ. The scapegoat. The sin offering. He removed it. He paid, and he removed it. And because of that, God the Father, through his Son, can have communion. He can meet with sinners. What a wonder. What love. What expression. What mercy. What grace. He removes it. How? As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And we read in Micah 7, verse 19, he will turn again. He will have compassion upon us, for he will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea, casting it all into the Red Sea of Christ's blood, paid for, removed. And so in the Lord Jesus Christ, he made that sacrifice. He is that propitiatory sacrifice. He's the scapegoat. He's everything. And because of him, there is full atonement. And therefore, and through that way only, through Christ, God can meet and he can commune with sinners. Sinners who repent of all their sin by God's grace. Sinners who begin to believe only in his Son. Open your Bible to Romans 3 verse 5. And here Paul saw it. He saw the depth of the love of God. That unspeakable gift. Romans 3 verse 25. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. To declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. Through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of whom? Of him which believeth in Jesus. What a wonder. The source of love, herein is love. It all flows out of the heart of that almighty, infinite, pure, holy, just, but also an infinite loving God through the sacrifice of his Son, and it's applied by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he speaks and he says this morning to his little lambs, to his sheep, even though you have sinned, even though you do sin, even though you remain sin, through my Son, I can meet with you. Through my Son, I can have communion with you. through my son, you can be my son. And I love you as much as my son. And my love will never be broken because it's sealed and paid in the precious, all-atoning blood of the precious Lamb. And oh, they long for another token, another sweet communion with him. And they long to come to the table, those little children whom I've described through the Word of God. And they long to sit there. What? To taste a little something. Something of self? No, there's no sweetness in that. To taste a little of his love again. To have something of his sweet communion. Oh, they long for it. But he also longs for it. Does he not? Isn't that what he said? With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. Why? Because he wants to meet with them. He wants to have communion with them. He longs. Sheep, children of God. And then you must obey. For his glory, for his honor, and for the nourishment and the feeding of your soul, as we've considered in the last Lord's Day. He admonishes them, and he wants to assure them of his constant love and faithfulness through his precious blood, through his broken body. Oh, may they all who in this past week may say, I know, by the witness of God, of those three clear marks of misery, deliverance, and gratitude, and yet in themselves, just laying in the midst of death, having nothing to present to God, and yet longing, trusting, their only hope is that only Lamb of God and that only Savior. He says, eat, oh friends, drink, yea, drink abundantly, oh beloved, what wonders. What a source of love. What an expression of love for absolute wretches. It all comes from him. And may it all return to him. All the glory be unto him. Amen. Let us sing now from Psalter 427, stanzas 6. 427, stanza 6. And we'll do that standing. This is the day of full salvation that God has made and sanctified. Come, let us voice our jubilation and triumph in the grace supplied. And what follows? 427, stanza 6. We will now read together the form for the administration of the Lord's Supper. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, attend to the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, as they are delivered by the Holy Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 through 29. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That we may now celebrate the supper of the Lord to our comfort, it is above all things necessary, first, rightly to examine ourselves, secondly, to direct it to that end for which God, which Christ hath ordained and instituted the same, namely, to his remembrance. The true examination of ourselves consists of these three parts. First, that everyone consider by himself his sins and the curse due to him for them, to the end that he may abhor and humble himself before God, considering that the wrath of God against sin is so great, that rather than it should go unpunished, he hath punished the same and his beloved Son Jesus Christ with the bitter and shameful death on the cross. Secondly, that everyone examine his own heart, whether he doth believe this faithful promise of God, that all his sins are forgiven him, only for the sake of the passion and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is imputed and freely given him as his own, yea, so perfectly as if he had satisfied in his own person for all his sins and fulfilled all righteousness. Thirdly, that everyone examine his own conscience, whether he purposeth henceforth to show true thankfulness to God in his whole life and to walk uprightly before him, as also whether he hath laid aside unfeignedly all enmity, hatred, and envy, and doth firmly resolve henceforward to walk in true love and peace with his neighbor. All those, then, who are thus disposed, God will certainly receive in mercy and count them worthy partakers of the table of his Son, Jesus Christ. On the contrary, those who do not feel this testimony in their hearts eat and drink judgment to themselves. Therefore we also, according to the command of Christ and the Apostle Paul, admonisheth all those who are defiled with the following sins to keep themselves from the table of the Lord, and to declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ, such as all idolaters, all those who invoke deceased saints, angels, or other creatures, all those who worship images, all enchanters, diviners, charmers, and those who confide in such enchantments, all despisers of God and of his word and of the holy sacraments, all blasphemers, all those who are given to raise discord, thefts, and mutiny in church or state, all perjured persons, all those who are disobedient to their parents and superiors, all murderers, all contentious persons, and those who live in hatred and envy against their neighbors, all adulterers, whoremongers, drunkards, thieves, users, robbers, gamesters, covetous, and all who lead offensive lives. All these, while they continue in such sins, shall abstain from this meat, which Christ hath ordained only for the faithful, lest their judgment and condemnation be made the heavier. But this is not designed, dearly beloved brethren and sisters in the Lord, to deject the contrite hearts of the faithful, as if none might come to the supper of the Lord but those who are without sin. For we do not come to this supper to testify thereby that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves, but on the contrary, considering that we seek our life out of ourselves in Jesus Christ, we acknowledge that we lie in the midst of death. Therefore, notwithstanding we feel many infirmities and miseries in ourselves, as namely that we have not perfect faith, that we do not give ourselves to serve God with that zeal as we are bound, but have daily to strive with the weakness of our flesh and the evil lust of the weakness of our faith and the evil lust of our flesh. Yet, since we are, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, sorry for these weaknesses, and earnestly desire to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God, therefore we rest assured that no sin or infirmity which still remaineth against our will in us can hinder us from being received of God in mercy and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly meat and drink. Let us now consider to what end the Lord hath instituted his supper, namely, that we do it in remembrance of him. Now after this manner are we to remember him by it, first, that we are confidently persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promise made to our forefathers in the Old Testament, was sent of the Father into the world, that he assumed our flesh and blood, that he bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished everlastingly from the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life upon earth, and that he hath fulfilled for us all obedience to divine law and righteousness, especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of him the bloody sweat in the garden where he was bound, that we might be freed from our sins, that he afterwards suffered innumerable reproaches that we might never be confounded, that he was innocently condemned to death that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God, yea, that he suffered his blessed body to be nailed on the cross, that he might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, and hath also taken upon himself the curse due to us, that he might fill us with his blessings, and hath humbled himself unto the deepest reproach and pains of hell, both in body and soul, on the tree of the cross, when he cried out with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of him, and finally confirmed with his death and shedding of his blood the new and eternal testament, that covenant of grace and reconciliation, when he said, it is finished. Secondly, that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace. The Lord Jesus Christ, in his last supper, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In like manner, also after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and said, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. That is, as often as ye eat of this bread and drink of this cup, ye shall thereby, as by a sure remembrance and pledge, be admonished and assured of this, my hearty love and faithfulness towards you, that whereas ye should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross and shed my blood for you, and as certainly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life, as this bread is broken before your eyes, and this cup is given to you, and you eat and drink the same with your mouth in remembrance of me. From this institution of the Holy Supper, our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice, once offered on the cross, as the only ground and foundation of our salvation, wherein he is become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true meat and drink of eternal life. For by his death he hath taken away the cause of our eternal death and misery, namely sin, and obtained for us the quickening spirit, that we by the same who dwelleth in Christ as in the head and in us as his members might have true communion with him and be made partakers of all his blessings of life eternal, righteousness and glory. Besides, that we by the same spirit may also be united as members of one body in true brotherly love, as the holy apostle saith, "For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. For as out of many grains one meal is ground, one bread baked, and out of many berries being pressed together, one wine floweth and mixeth itself together. So shall we all, who by a true faith are engrafted into Christ, be all together one body through brotherly love for Christ's sake, our beloved Savior, who has so exceedingly loved us, and not only show this in word, but also in very deed toward one another. Here to assist us, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit, amen. That we may obtain all this, let us humble ourselves before God and with true faith implore his grace. Let us pray together. O most merciful God and Father, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased in this supper in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, that we may daily, more and more, with true confidence, give ourselves up unto thy Son, Jesus Christ, that our afflicted and contrite hearts, through the power of the Holy Ghost, may be fed and comforted with his true body and blood, yea, with him, true God and man, that only heavenly bread, and that we may no longer live in our sins, but he in us, and we in him, and thus truly be made partakers of the new and everlasting covenant of grace, that we may not doubt, but that thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing our sins unto us, and providing us with all things necessary, as well for the body as the soul, as thy beloved children and heirs. Grant us also thy grace, that we may take up our cross cheerfully, deny ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulations, with uplifted heads, expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where he will make our mortal bodies like unto his most glorious body, and take us unto him in eternity. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Strengthen us also by this holy supper in the Catholic undoubted Christian faith, whereof we make confession with our mouths and hearts, saying, I believe in God the Father, almighty maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell, and the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That we may now be fed with the true heavenly bread, Christ Jesus. Let us not cleave with our hearts unto the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate at the right hand of his heavenly Father, whither all the articles of our faith lead us, not doubting, but we shall as certainly be fed and refreshed in our souls through the working of the Holy Ghost with his body and blood, as we receive the holy bread and wine in remembrance of him. Let us sing now from Psalter 218, stanzas 1 and 6. 218, stanzas 1 and 6. Dear congregation, all things are ready. God has provided all things through his dear Son. He who is the overflowing fountain of love has given his Son. And we heard something of the expression of his love through his Son that he gave him as that propitiatory sacrifice. And through him, he longs to meet and commune with sinners. Who are they? Who are they who he invites to come to sit at this table under the wings of him? They are those who have an ecclesiastical right. What is that? That they are a member of this church and in good standing. But that's not sufficient. We also need a divine right. What is that? That is that grace of God, taught by God, the work of the Holy Spirit. What are those marks of misery, of how great my sins are, and that God had to put his own Son to death, and that we begin to abhor and humble ourselves because of our sin before him. There's that sorrow, that godly sorrow in the heart of sin against God, but also deliverance, that longing, that looking to another outside of yourself in that only Savior who's revealed by the Holy Spirit in the Word, of that way back to God, needing him, trusting in him, hungering, thirsting for him, but also that mark of gratitude, that longing to serve him because he's so worthy, that longing to be free from sin, to be holy. Those are the marks. Do you know something of this in your life? The Lord, he himself, who is the host of this table, he invites those that know something of these three marks to come to sit. And he promises, through the mercy seat, through the blood of his Son, to meet, to commune. What a wonder, what mercy, what grace, what love. The table is open and all things are ready. There still is one more chair, but we also, the Lord willing, will have another table. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. This is my body, which is broken for you. What an expression of love is broken for you. For you who deserve to be broken, this is my body, which is broken for you. What love! He wanted a body so that he could sacrifice himself. Why? To make that payment. That payment that those wretched sinners don't have. This is my body. It's broken for you. What love! What unspeakable grace for wretches who only deserve eternal wrath, to be forever broken, to be ever sent away. What mercy! This is my body, which for you is broken. This is my body, which is broken for you, for me, for you. It becomes such a wonder. And we love him because he first loved us. We had nothing, but he gave everything. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. Take and drink ye all of it. I would like to read some verses from Isaiah 53. And we heard something of the expression of the love of God the Father. And now in this chapter we also hear of the love of the Son. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. And so we see the Lamb of God, the precious Savior, who had a desire to come from eternity, to come in a body, God in the flesh. Why? That he could live on this earth, that he could fulfill the law for transgressors, but more. He wanted a body. Why? To be that sacrifice. To be that sacrifice to give himself, to satisfy the justice of God. The wages of sin is death. And God's justice demands blood. He demands death. And you and I, we deserve death because of our sin. No, not just temporal death. We deserve eternal death, eternal wrath. But God, in his love, thought of a way. And Jesus Christ, his Son, came to be the way. He came to be the Lamb. He came to be beaten. He came to be wounded. He came to be stripped of everything and to be beaten with stripes and rods. He came to die, and he opened not his mouth. He didn't open his mouth. He could have called for angels to deliver. He didn't. Why? He couldn't, because of his love. God the Father sent him in his love, and he in his love went that way. Why? Because he had a look to the future, to the reward, that he could have sheep and his fold eternally, eternally in his fold, to be around him, to forever praise and glorify his Father. What love, what unspeakable love for loveless, faithless, wretched sinners. Oh, may we meditate on today. Herein is love. Not that we loved him, but that he loved us. May that fill your hearts, break them again, and fill you today to meditate on that love, and that all the glory would be to him and to him alone. Let us sing now from Psalter 426. Psalter 426. And we will sing Psalter stanzas 3 and 4, and when we sing verse 5, then we will return to our seats. So 3 and 4 and 5, while we're singing that, will we return to our seats, please? Dear congregation, are there those yet lying in the midst of death and seek salvation entirely in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you seen a little something, not only of your sin, but have you seen a little something, a little hope, something revealed of that Savior through the word and the preaching and the hearing, the reading, and your heart went out to him? Mr. Faith, and that only Savior. No, not that you can say he's my Savior, but you long for him to be your Savior because you need him as a lost wretch, unrighteous in self, and you need his righteousness to cover you, and you need his blood to wash you, and you need him to bring you back to that Almighty God, longing for communion, to meet with him, to have his favor. You can't live without his favor anymore. To have his favor is life. And there's no way in yourself. It's all come to an end. But I need him and him alone. Do you know something of this? And you're invited to come, to sit at this table. And he longs to nourish you, to feed you with his crucified body, and to comfort your soul with that comfort that he only has through his satisfaction. Then this will be the last table. Sit here. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. What a wonder that he gave his body to be a sacrifice for those who have nothing but sin. Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. May we lift up our thoughts, not to focus on the bread, but to lift up to him who gave his body to be broken, who is now at the right hand of the Father and intercedes as an advocate for his dear beloved sheep and little lambs. This is my body that he gave to be broken for you, for me. This is my body broken for you. What a wonder. What a wonder, broken for wretched sinners who deserve nothing but to be broken themselves and to be eternally cast away. This is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat. This is my body, broken for you. What wonders of his love. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. Take and drink ye all of it. I would continue reading in Isaiah 53. All we like sheep have gone astray, yet he We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before his shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. And then we read, he was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. Why? For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. And now we read something, another expression of the love of God the Father, but also of the Son. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. So we read, it pleased the Lord. It didn't please the Lord to put us to death. It didn't please the Lord to cast us away eternally because of our sin, what we justly deserve. But it pleased the Lord. He took pleasure in what? In bruising his own dear beloved Son that had no sin, that he could look upon and say, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. All pure, a perfect reflection of his express image of God. And yet it pleased him to bruise him. What does that mean? To put him to death. Why? Why? Because that was the only way that the almighty, infinite, holy God could commune, could meet with such sinners. What love! What unspeakable love for those who only deserve wrath. And then we also read that he shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. He was satisfied. He can never be satisfied with you. He can never be satisfied with me. He can only be satisfied with those poor wretches that hide under the shadow of his dear Son. And there, through him, he can meet and he can commune. May the Lord richly bless. Let us sing from Psalter 426, stanzas 6 and 7. And at verse 8, we will return to our seats. So 426, stanzas 6 and 7, and in verse 8, we will turn to our seats. Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord hath now fed our souls at this table, let us therefore jointly praise his holy name with thanksgiving. And everyone say in his heart thus, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Who hath not spared his own son, but delivered him up for us all, and given us all things with him. Therefore God commendeth therewith his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified in his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Therefore shall my mouth and heart show forth the praise of the Lord from this time forth forevermore. Amen. Let us close in thanksgiving. O almighty, merciful God and Father, we render thee most humble and hearty thanks that thou hast, of thy infinite mercy, given us thine only begotten Son for a mediator and a sacrifice for our sins, and to be our meat and drink unto life eternal, and that thou hast given us lively faith, whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. Thou hast also been pleased that thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, should institute and ordain his Holy Supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of thy Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with him through Jesus Christ thy Son, in whose name we conclude our prayer, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us sing now in closing from Psalter 83. Psalter 83. How blessed is he whose trespass hath freely been forgiven, whose sin is wholly covered before the sight of heaven. And what follows, Psalter 83.
Thank you.
dear congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.